for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2005 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday afternoon, December the 30th, Ladies 115 Deliverance Meeting. Carla Butard is the speaker.
Father, we come before you this afternoon for another word from you, Lord. We ask your Holy Spirit to come. Lord, stroll around our hearts and our minds, our emotions, and speak to us, Lord, what we need to hear today. Lord, I intend for this to be an encouraging word. And I pray, Lord, that you would release the spirit of encouragement in this room right now. Lord, let your spirit of truth fill this room. Send your holy angels, Lord, to help minister this word to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read a few scriptures first. This is kind of a heart-to-heart. As we're all women, and this is about something that's close to our hearts, and that is children. Mostly our own children, because that's what we deal with mostly, unless you're a teacher, a counselor. Some of you have influence on children, you know, that this will be helpful to. So I want to start with Proverbs 22:6. This is a real well-known scripture. However, when I was looking for it, I was looking in Proverbs 6:22. Okay. Make the light green. Be green. Okay.
There you go.
Do I need to do anything else? Sounds like I'm talking through remember when you used to put foil or something on a comb and it vibrates? Okay, Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now I want to look at Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 8. Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 8. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the ordinances which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land to which you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Okay, that's our commandment that we are to do with our children. Many of us did not have the opportunity of being raised up where this was done. I was one of the fortunate ones whose daddy did do this with me. In fact, I could just ask him what time it was. It ended up being a spiritual lesson. Now I do it to my kids. But this is what we're supposed to do. And then if this is done, Isaiah 54:13 is the result. Isaiah 54:13 says, "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children." Isn't that what we all want for our children, is to have a peaceful life, a godly life? And even if you didn't know these things, you still tried to teach your children in a way that they would have a good life. But it doesn't always end up that way. I want to read Luke 15. This scripture was given to me whenever my 16 or 17 year old, he was 16 I think at the time, 16 year old son was in full blown rebellion and was going to run away from home. And it was very distressing to us because we didn't want him to leave. He was too young to leave and be out in that world that we knew would chew him up and spit him out, possibly killing if it, you know, were possible. Because he had gotten involved with a group of kids that he had no business being with. They were children of darkness, and he was a child of light. And so he shouldn't have been with these people. But no matter how much I taught him and everything, he chose to be with these people. And, you know, as long as your children are little and you have total control over where they are, what they're doing, and all of that, you can have peace about it. But when they go out into the world, you don't have any idea what your kids are doing. And, you know, I have friends that would say with all positive sureness, you know, "Well, my child's never done such and such." And I said, "That you know of." "That you know of." I learned really quickly, you know, that I didn't know what mine was doing when he was away from me. All of the town knew what he was doing when he was away from me. But I didn't know what he was doing. Oh, me. Okay. So he was going to run away from home. Now, my husband is a really soft-hearted fella. And this was just, he didn't know what to do. He was so afraid for this kid. And when he gets in a situation he doesn't know how to handle, he falls asleep. I mean, just gets in the bed, gets in a fetal position, and goes to sleep. Yeah. I tried that once. It didn't work. Things went on while I was asleep. But anyway, I was standing at the sink, and my son Kyle was on the couch watching TV. He wasn't going to leave until after we went to bed. So I was fixing him a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So he wouldn't be hungry. At least he wouldn't leave hungry. This was probably about 9:30 or 10 at night. And I went to the sink. I was fixing the coffee pot. And the Lord said, "Go read Luke 15. I thought, Luke 15? I wonder what that is. So, man, I went to the Bible and I started reading. And, I mean, I didn't get very far at all. And I took the Bible to the bedroom. It says in 15 verse 11, this is Jesus telling this parable. And he said, "A certain man had two sons." That's as far as I could get. This is Mike. "And the younger of them," Kyle was our younger son, "said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after that, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." I thought, wow. Now, of course, I'd heard this story 100,000 times growing up in church. But what struck me in this story this night that was so relevant was that the father in this story didn't do anything. Do you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
The father gave it to him and bid him farewell. I learned a lot from this father. He didn't chase after the son. He didn't try to talk the son out of it. He just let the son go. Okay? Now, you know that this man, because you can look at the other son, and you think, here are these two kids. Do y'all know the rest of the story? Mm-hmm. Does anybody in here not know the rest of the story? Because I'll read it all, but, you know, I don't need to if we know the rest of the story. There was the good son who stayed home and did everything his father said. Then there was this other kid who wasn't happy to do that. He wanted his stuff, and he hit the trail. Now, this daddy, you know good and well, he raised us kids just alike. Just like Mike and I raised our children just alike. Our oldest one, a saint. One day he made a prank call on the telephone, and I was exercising, walking. And he's out on the porch screaming at me, and I'm like, what is the matter? I couldn't even hear him. I was way down at the end of the road. When I got close enough, he said, I made a prank phone call. I said, well, stop it. But he was okay because he confessed it. You know, that's why, I mean, things got to him really bad when he did something he knew he shouldn't do. But this other one, and they were raised just alike. Okay, of course, since I've been learning about the sins of the forefathers and all these gene pools that, you know, one sperm and one egg can come from, you know, 32, 64, I don't remember the number, but there's a whole bunch of people these things come from with a vast difference in characteristics. Okay? So this father, and I went and read it to Mike. I said, listen to this. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, I said, you're the certain man. And Kyle is the younger of our two. So just the rest of this story gave me hope. The Word of God, when you look at the Word of God, it will just give you hope and peace. Now, I knew that Kyle was going to come to his senses because he came to his senses. The guy that went out and lived righteously, it said when he came to his senses, and I knew that Kyle would come to his senses. I didn't know when. I didn't know what he would have to go through before he did. But none of that mattered as long as he came to his senses. There was a time because, well, it took a little while, y'all. It took about 5 years for him to come to his senses after he was put in prison. You know, I have said, our children have taken me places I never dreamed I would go. But anyway, he did come to his senses. But this gave me hope. Now, in Genesis 22:1, and I'm getting someplace with all this, Genesis 22:1. See, when he first started all of this stuff, I mean, it started out with little stuff. He just, one night he didn't come home on his curfew. And then he never came home on his curfew. And, of course, there were problems in the house. Things were out of order at this time. Or up until this time, I had been the disciplinarian. And so things were not as they should have been in our home. Hope, you know, who knows? If it would have had a different outcome, maybe, maybe not. We don't know. But when he got caught with marijuana at school, I was devastated. And the next Sunday in church, I was crying out to God, what can I do about my Kyle, Lord? Because I could see where it was going. I could see. And the Lord said to me, now he's 16, do you love Kyle enough to lay him on my altar?
All right now, that's it.
And I thought, but he's just a baby. You know, 16. And I immediately began to cry because I knew at that moment Abraham's heart. You see, Abraham right here in Genesis 22. You know how long Abraham waited for Isaac? Verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now, you know, I've heard teachers, well, he knew God was going to raise him up if he did that. You know, I'm not talking about any of that. I'm just talking about the condition of Abraham's heart when he heard that. How long he had waited for this son, and then for God to say, bring him up, and offer him for a sacrifice. Of course, I would have said, get thee behind me, Satan. But you know what? I understand that now. Because when God said, Do you love Kyle enough to lay him on my altar? I knew what it meant.
Yeah.
Hands off. I mean totally turn him over to me. And that was scary.
Yeah.
For a moment. Because when God asked me that question, here again, immediately I remembered Abraham. Okay? Abraham took him up, was in the act almost, when he noticed the sacrifice. So Isaac was spared. And because of the word of God, I had confidence that Kyle would be spared. So I laid him on the altar. Now, to much judgment and scrutiny, even from my Christian friends, you know, well, you're his mother. You're his parent. You should do this and you should do that and you should do this and you should do that. And I said, you know what? I mean, really, now sometimes, you know, we have to get just blunt. What are you going to do after all that you should do this and you should do that? Well, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to do no more and no less than what God has instructed me to do. Well, what has he told you to do? He told me to lay him on his altar. Well, you know, then over here, well, she doesn't love that kid. If she loved that kid, she'd be doing something. She'd do this and she'd do that and she'd do this and she'd do that, you know. Hey, I didn't care what anybody said.
Yes.
Once God has spoken, that's all it takes. So I laid him on the altar. Now, you know, it was painful. I did at one point. You know, it was, he wouldn't come home one night. You know, he's in and out of jail, in and out of jail. He wouldn't come home. And maybe he would call us the next day and say, I'm over at a friend's house. Maybe he wouldn't call. We never knew when he was in jail, when he wasn't. He called, Mama, guess where I am? Jail. Yeah. On New Year's Day, I'll never forget one day on New Year's Day, he called, Mama, guess where I am? I said, jail. He said, yeah. I said, I told your daddy. I just had a gut feeling that you were in jail. And he was in jail. Probably 17. Yeah, probably 17 now. And didn't finish school. But he went to a meeting with me one night, and this guy prophesied over him, don't worry about the studies. You will complete. And I thought, oh, he's going to graduate. Well, he didn't graduate. He got his GED in prison. But he got his GED. So, anyway, the Word of God is comforting. Now, do you understand the test that God gave to Abraham? And it is a test that we all face, maybe not to this extreme. The test was to see if Abraham would still be faithful to God.
Yes.
Over his love for this kid.
Mm-hmm.
And through all of this, I learned that our children can become idols.
Yes.
We fall into idolatry because our children become the most precious thing to us. And then we step over the line. Even after God started showing me this idolatry thing, I began to notice, you know, that parents of grown children that had children of their own were still trying to be their God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have these desires for their children, and their desires cause them to try to lord over their life. And then I've seen full-grown children with children still trying to please mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
Even, you know, they take the place of, they should be living their life to please God,
but
they're trying to please mom and dad.
All right.
And that, too, is idolatry. He gave me a whole new understanding of idolatry. I could never understand when preachers would get up and talk about idolatry. I'm thinking, we're in America. We're sitting in church. What is all of this about idolatry? I mean, he's talking about a football game. You know, it's the big sermon on the Super Bowl day is how many, you know, football is their God. Well, no, it's not. They stay home to watch a football game. I'm not saying it was good. But, it, you know, football is not an idol, you know? But we do have idols.
Yeah.
And we need to be very, very careful. So he required Abraham to take that child up and release him. But he didn't allow him to kill him.
Amen.
And we're all required to do that.
Amen.
Let's see. Okay. Our responsibility, our chief responsibility as parents, in case nobody ever told you, is to bring them in to a right relationship with God. Now, we don't all know that when we have children. And they're not our children.
Right.
You know, you hear these, but well, that's my child. I'll raise them the way I want to. No, he was only entrusted to you.
That's right.
And you have a responsibility.
Yeah,
we're stewards. Yes. So while they are in our care, and it's for such a short time that we have these children in our care, and yet we are so busy taking care of other things that we think are cheap things, and then before we know it, our kids are gone, and we haven't done our responsibility with our children. And then we have to guard against idolatry. Train them up in the way they should go. Lay them on the altar when they become of age. Now see, with my other child, I can do that at the right age. But with Kyle, I had to do it at the age of his choosing. I had to lay him on the altar. I didn't like it. I would have preferred it be some other way. But while all of this was going on with Kyle, I was distraught at first until God, you know, that step one, step two, step three. You ask God and he will tell you. So as those things were given to me and I walked in them, God began to bring me out of the distress and the brokenheartedness. So while I was in distress, our good child, the one who was righteous, was disturbed over all of this that went on. And so he spent a lot of time at a friend's house, and they were Mormons. And he was swept up into the Mormon religion. So now I've got one that's headed to prison and one in a cult. The one I never thought I had to worry about is now in a cult. And let me stop right here and say, beware judgment. I could stop here and give a whole lesson on judgment. Don't, you know, whatever you do, don't look at me and say anything, because then you write out a purchase order for that same thing to come to your house. Don't judge anybody. Yes.
Yeah, and you judge the Mormons.
Yes. Yes. And I also have judged girls who got pregnant outside of wedlock. And guess what? My baby daughter got pregnant out of wedlock. I mean, I have learned the most excruciating way not to keep my mouth shut. And let me tell you something about the mouth. I didn't hear your teaching on claiming and say what we say. But I have to tell you this because it was just amazing to me. And if I could turn back the clock, I would, and keep my mouth shut. But Katie, my daughter, you know, began to act out promiscuously. And so I was praying, Lord, I am asking you to keep her womb. You are the opener and closer of women's wombs. And I am asking for you to keep her womb shut until the appointed time, that yet another child might be brought into this world fatherless. And all of our friends, I was thinking just the other day, every single one of my couple friends, families that made it in marriage, you know, there was no divorce, every single one of them has had a child get pregnant out of wedlock. Every one, that's high odds. That's very high odds. And so, of course, I already learned about judging. I didn't judge them. My heart broke for them. But I was asking God to keep her womb shut. Now, she was sexually active from 16 on. Last year, one of the fellas that she was seeing started hanging around the house. I'm talking hanging around the house. They didn't date. He just hung around the house. They hung here and hung there. And one morning I got up, he was asleep on the swing on the front porch. I said, I am not having him. I told Mike. One morning I got up at 4:30. I'm walking through, and he's coming in my back door. I said, what are you doing here? I told Mike, and I was harping at Mike, you know, because now, before, when Jezebel was alive and well, I would have said, wah! You know, I would have chased him out with a broom. But I told Mike, you know, I'm telling Mike, this is going on, this is going on, this is going on. If you don't get this guy away from our house, she is going to end up pregnant, and we'll be raising all three of them. And in 2 months, she told me she was pregnant. You see what that mouth does? I heard someone else up here, I can't remember who it was. It was a woman. And she said, I think it was Polly. She said, you know, Satan and the demons are just hanging around. Just, you know, they're just hanging around waiting.
That's it.
For a word that they can go and do.
That's right.
It's a confession. Because the words we speak, what? Set on fire the course of nature that is so powerful.
Yeah.
I just really warn you to watch the words of your mouth.
Amen. I told my son, if you don't repent, you won't live past your 25th birthday. He died 3 days past
your 25th. My mother used to tell me, because I ate so much candy when I was a kid, you're not going to have a tooth in your head by the time you're 35. And always under my breath, I said, I will too. I have all my teeth. And I have all my teeth. Well, I did lose one, y'all. I did lose one. I even have my wisdom teeth. But, you know, I didn't know that principle then. It was out of rebellion that I said it, but it was a good confession. We'll too have all of my teeth. But anyway, we really need to watch the words of our mouth. Now, when Wade joined the Mormon Church, this again is the how the Word of God can comfort and for it to be an encouragement to you as a parent. Is he came home and told me that he had joined the Mormon Church on Mother's Day, 1999. And I thought I was going to throw up on his feet. But I made it outside. I didn't throw up. But I said, Lord, I need to hear from you. I need to hear from you. You gave me a word about Kyle. I need to hear from you about Wade. And what he said to me, and I didn't even know where it was in the Bible until a year later. He who seeks me with all of his heart shall find me. And I said, even in the Mormon Church, Lord? And there was no answer. Well, that was enough. So a year later, I am telling Wade this testimony. And he said, where is that, Mom? I want to mark it in my Bible. So, and he is in the Word. He's in the Word, and he's in that other mess too. But as long as he's in the Word, he has a chance. Right now he is. See, but this is, well, and I'm going to show you where God showed me that. A year later, ladies, he wants to know where it is. So I have to get in my concordance because I don't know where that scripture is. Well, it's right under about the most famous scripture in the Bible besides John 3:16, and that is, I know the plans that I have for you. Jeremiah 29. Listen to this. 11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Okay? After every time somebody would say, he joined the Mormon Church, I'd say, he's been taken captive. They took him captive. They have kidnapped him. Okay? Verse 12 says, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. Okay, I read that April the 22nd of 2000. He joined May 99. This was April 22nd, 2000. 14 says, and I will be found by you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. I was like, whoa! Not only that, I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places to which I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. I mean, I didn't read that to him. Because you know what I learned, ladies?
Yeah.
Don't give things to your kids to rebel against.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even do it.
Yeah.
That's right. And so this was my word. I mean, I was even more excited about this than you shall seek and find me.
Uh-huh.
Because I knew Wade had accepted the Lord when he was 10 years old and was baptized. He already belonged to Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So I remind Satan of that every day when I pray for him. He's been baptized into Jesus Christ and is a child of God. And him will he serve all the days of his life and no other in the name of Jesus. Okay, so the day, now I don't know if you know much about the Mormons, but this was an honor student kid. It was valedictorian in his class. The other one didn't finish school. And this was like, I've had the best in the world. But he was valedictorian, went to Texas A&M, didn't cost us a penny for him to go through college. He's now in medical school, first year medical school in Dallas. But, where was I going with that? Okay, he had been to 2 years of college, and then they send these kids on a mission for 2 years. He dropped out of school for he was on the dean's list, dropped out of school for 2 years. Now, if it had been a Christian mission, you know, I'd have been excited. But anyway, so he got his bicycle, his white shirt, and, you know, he had his on his Mormon uniform, I call it. And we took him to the airport. My prayer was, Lord, my request is that he not have to leave the United States. Because they go all over the world. Well, he went to Idaho. I told him that was a good place for a potato head. And he thought that was real funny. But anyway, when we took him to the airport, it was so hard. I mean, because this, you know, I told Mike, this almost breaks my heart more than what Kyle is doing. You know? It of course, you can't compare it, but when I didn't want to cry. So, but yeah, really, I wanted to fall on his ankles and go, but I restrained and I acted very, you know, supportive and all that. And so until the airplane left the air.
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, and then just something came over me. It just caught me off guard. I just began to sob. And I thought, what is this?
No, no.
And you know what it was? This is what I heard. You are experiencing the heart of Moses' mother. When she had to push that baby off in that little boat, she had no idea where he was going to end up, but she totally trusted God with his life. And so I had to totally trust God with his life. Now, I could not see him for 2 years. I could not even talk to him for 2 years. Mm-mm, mm-mm. They do not let them have any contact with their families. So anyway, that was tough. And then when Mike came over to console me, and I told him, I said, I'm feeling Moses' mother's heart when she had to push that baby away. So on the way home, I'm not crying anymore. And God said, go take a good look at Moses. So I got in my Bible and read the whole story of Moses. And you know what God showed me in that? Now, this man, Moses, had a destiny.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the command was to kill all these boy babies. So Moses had to be hidden in order for that destiny to come forth. Mm-hmm. Now, how many of us would think to hide a child of destiny in Egypt? In the Pharaoh's house. A totally godless nation. Totally godless. See? But God had his hand on Moses, even in Egypt. You see? Just like he had his hand on the prodigal son. So take comfort. I don't know where you are in the stages of your kids, but take comfort that God has his hand on your children, and not to fear. Because when we fear, we fuel Satan and his plan. We pour gasoline into it so it can happen. It draws the very thing that we don't want. Fear does. And so I found out that after that scripture, even the place that I've driven you to, see, that was a place, I have to admit, ladies, that Wade being in the Mormon church was a safe place for him to be. Because he could have been, and he was depressed. He was upset. He saw his family falling apart. This, you know, what used to be a happy place was now hell. He was embarrassed. He was shamed. I mean, everybody in the county that would give an ear heard our story. And, you know, that was part of what God showed me that picked me up and stood me up straight. Because God has a plan for my life.
All right.
And I was seeing that crumble because of what was happening in my house. Then in the middle of all of that, I think it was in 99, the year Wade joined the Mormons, God called me to start a teaching at the church that I was in. And my first question to him was, who is going to listen to anything I have to say? I mean, I've got a kid in prison and one joint in the Mormon church. Who is going to listen to a word I have to say? And God said, listen, you don't get it. That is exactly one of the reasons all of this is happening, is because I've given you a work to do. And Satan has tried to stop you and shut you up, and he just hasn't been able to do it. So he's moved in to your children, where your heartstrings are. He said, you be about what I've called you to do, and you leave the rest of the mess to me. And that just set me free. I mean, of course, then, you know, there was a time I had to say, Lord, I can do that, but what about my broken heart? What about my disappointment for my children and the broken dreams, you know, that I had to see them grow up righteous? And after all, you know, I did train them up in the way they should go.
Right.
So, you know, what is all this? And it, that can disturb us when we know we're doing everything we can do and it's still something goes wrong, and then we don't know why it went wrong. It causes confusion. I mean, I was in a real mixed up place at that time, because I'm telling you, I diligently did like Deuteronomy. I mean, we had devotionals every morning before they went to school. We prayed together. I mean, we experienced miracles all the time. How can this happen? But you know, you train them up, and then you have to let them go.
Yeah.
Now, here's another scripture God ministered to me with, and it's Psalm 27:10. Psalm 27:10. It says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Okay? Now, we hadn't forsaken Kyle, but I looked up that word forsake, and do you know what it means in the Hebrew? Loosen. It means let go of. Let go of. Now, let's read it with that in there. When my father and my mother let go of me, then the Lord will take me up.
Amen.
Do you know, sometimes in that place, like if you don't let go of them and you're trying to manage and control things to bring them back, you get into manipulation, you're really into idolatry because you're trying to do God's job. But if we will let go of them, then God can do the very thing that we want to happen, but in our effort to make it happen, we get in His way and tie His hands where He can't do anything. So I encourage you that if you have a situation like this, let go of your children. If you didn't train them up in the way they should go and you think it's too late, it's not. Lay them on God's altar. Tell them, I made a mess. I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Lord, forgive me. But have mercy on my child. I give him to you.
Yeah.
I lay him on your altar. And God will take him up. He will take him up. It's a lot easier said than done. To keep our hands off. But I think I've told you this before. God showed me one time that I was praying about something. I'm real visual, and or maybe it was a vision, I don't know. But anyway, I see pictures all the time, but I was praying about a matter, and then later I thought of something I could do. Yeah, you know. So I get involved, and I just saw this picture. God just sat back down, and I thought, ooh, Lord, forgive me. I'll move. Get up. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I take my hands off of it. It's your situation, Lord. I'll stay out of it completely. Because I used to be a manager and a controller.
Yeah.
Well, I had the best ideas. I could call this person and they could do this, and then this person and then, Now it's really, sometimes I wonder, Lord, am I backing off too much?
Mm-hmm.
Should I? You let me know if you want me to do something.
Yeah.
I'll do it. You let me know. Because, Lord, at this point, I'm not doing anything.
Okay.
And he does. He does. He lets me know. As long as I keep him involved, he'll let me know.
Yeah.
So, when Katie started, her shenanigans, sneaking out, and one night I had this old-timer out in the woods. I mean, he looks just like, almost like Jed Clampett, only way bigger. His fist is this big. Showed up on our porch after midnight one night, banging on our door. Mike and I, we're sound asleep, you know, hear this banging on the door. Somebody's at the door. And it was him. And he said, go upstairs and see if Katie's in her bed. And that's when, you know, your heart just, it's almost like coming out of your chest because you don't know what's going on. And I went upstairs, and she was there in her bed, but she was fully dressed, shoes and everything. Well, she and his granddaughter had a plan that they were going to run away. They were going to get on their horses and ride off into the sunset. You know, they had big, they were going to ride their horses. I found out later she'd been doing that for years. They'd get up in the middle of the night and ride horses. I never even knew. I thought, my gosh. When I found out, I started taking a coffee can and putting some quarters in it and put it up. We had bifold doors at the top of the stairs, and I would fix it so if that door opened, it'd go clang, 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 clang. Because I sleep, you know, I sleep. I go to bed and I sleep. I don't worry about it. I just go to bed and sleep. But anyway, I said, Lord, you gave me a word for Wade, and you gave me a word for Kyle. I need to hear something about my Katie. 3 out of 3, you would think we could have. We had one that wouldn't have to.
Oh, yes.
And you know what I heard? My aunt said, that was the devil. Mary Magdalene. I said, Lord. She was a whore, wasn't she? And then I was thinking, I thought, well, she's kind of acting like one. But Lord, I see the end of Mary Magdalene. You cast out 7 spirits out of her. I started counting the guys. Have we got there yet? It's a hard road, you know. But I'm an overcomer.
Amen.
And I know how to live by faith. Because see, in the middle of all of this, whenever I was crying out to God one day, I was just crying. I wasn't even crying out to God. I was just crying. I was feeling pretty beat. And God said something to me, and I had to stop crying to think about it. He said, you know what? You can continue to live by sight and circumstances, and this is where you're going to find yourself. Or you can stand on my word. And I was like, what do you mean, stand on your word? And then 2 scriptures came to my mind. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. And all of your children shall be taught of me, and great shall be their peace. And I said, I just almost got mad. I said, I did that. He said, then stand on my word. See, we are people of faith, are we not?
Yes. Amen.
And we're supposed to walk by faith,
yes.
Not by sight.
That's right.
And I've gotten pretty good at not being moved by what I see.
All right, now. Yeah.
However, when they're in the house with you. I kept telling Mike, he would go upstairs. That room is a disaster. I said, don't look at it. I'm not going to be moved by what I see. You don't go outside, there's beer bottles. I'm not going to be moved by what I see. I will not fear evil tidings. My heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. You'd be surprised how quick that can turn off your worry.
That's it.
And that, as a people of faith, when he was talking about that stuff last night, and when you start seeing these things lining up in the Scripture, lining up in the world from the Scripture as it is written, it says that men's hearts shall fail them for fear. We're going to start seeing some stuff. We've seen a little. I was telling my mother the other day, I said, Mama, it's a good thing you're not going to be here much longer. You know, she still is upset because my kids don't send thank you notes. I said, Mama, I taught them to send thank you notes. I did. I've even sent them thank you notes and stamps.
Yep.
But you know what? In this world today, it's just a good thing you're not going to be here much longer. Because we're fixing to see some things in this world.
Yes.
And we better learn how to walk by faith.
Amen.
And not by sight.
Amen.
Not by sight.
Amen.
So, this is an encouraging word.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes.
I have learned through the things that I have suffered.
Yes.
Obedience. But comfort. Do you know the Word of God is so comforting? I love that scripture in Corinthians that says, let's see, it's 1 Corinthians 1, 2 Corinthians maybe, that says that that we are to comfort others with the same comfort that we were comforted with. Who comforteth? It's 1:4, 2 Corinthians 1:4. Who blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them who are in any trouble by the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted of God. See, so we can be comforted by others who have already been there. And as a mother who has, Jerry, a lot of us as mothers have been there. And we can comfort the younger ones, those who haven't had children yet, so that when these things, they can remember the Word. They can remember the story of the prodigal son. Now, there's another story in that prodigal son that I want to share with y'all one day about the inheritance. About I'll take my portion of my inheritance now. I had that happen to me. I got an inheritance and the person wasn't even dead. Yeah, testimony is good. but this was to encourage us as mothers to teach those who are not yet mothers and to share with others who don't have children but have friends who have children that can bring this knowledge from the Word of God as a comfort to them whenever they see their children out of the way, when they're trained up in the way they should go, but right now they've gone the way they weren't supposed to go. There's hope and there's comfort. And just like that word about, you know, my son Wade, I know that he's coming out. And you know what? I even said to the Lord one day after reading in Hebrews that faith chapter, so-and-so died in faith, and this one died in faith, and that one died in faith. I stopped right there. I said, Lord, I'm asking you for it to happen in my lifetime.
That's right.
That's my request. You said make my request known. That's my request. And I was up here at camp not long ago, and Doc had prayed for me and walked off and turned around and he goes, almost like, you know, he just got just that. He wasn't quite sure what it was, but he just turned around and he said, God said, in your lifetime. And I mean, I could have just turned a back flip because, I mean, it was just 2 weeks or so before that I said, Lord, In my lifetime. And he said, in your lifetime. That is my word.
Yes.
And I love that because I have no qualms about any of the three of my children. And I also believe, let me tell you, I was looking for a scripture this morning. I remembered that somewhere in the Word, it said that in my mind, it was Satan seeks the precious life. And I thought, Lord, where was that? Where was that? And it's Proverbs. It actually is talking about the adulterers. Proverbs, I think it's 6. Okay, Lord, I thought I had that. The adulteress, it says that she is seeking the precious life.
And verse 26.
Thank you. Yes. And the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. And I know that's true. I know that Satan is hard-pressed for the children of the righteous. You know, it gave me understanding how, you know, we always talk about, he's a preacher's kid. So that tells you everything about him, doesn't it? Because most of the time, the stereotype is the preacher's kid is the wildest kid in town. And I judged, you know, I'll leave y'all out of it. I had a list whenever I was a young girl of men that I would not marry. And I tell Mike, and after I eliminated all of them, Mike Butod was left. But I wouldn't marry a pilot because he was gone from home too much. I wanted my man to be at home. I wouldn't marry a doctor. I wouldn't marry a career service man. I wouldn't marry a preacher because he was never home either. But anyway, all that list. But I know now that it's not because the preacher's never home that his children are that way. It's because Satan is hard-pressed for the children of the righteous. And I was just grieved recently when on one of the morning TV shows, there was an honor student of a college, a Baptist young man, that was arrested for robbing a bank. He was a preacher's son. I don't even remember where it was, but they're just giving, okay, stay tuned because we're going to talk about this and this and this. And they said that, and I said to Mike, it was for gambling. He has a gambling problem. He's in debt because of gambling. And they came back, and that's exactly what it was. Because let me tell you, gambling, the lottery, poker, all these clubs that are popping up, casinos, all of that stuff, those are seducing spirits that have been loosed in this world today. And that kid was seduced. A preacher's kid, a righteous, well, I assume he was righteous, because most of the time, you know, he's going to be raised in church, he's going to accept Jesus as his Savior. Baptists have a lot of word in them, and yet he goes off to school, and that was one of the things that caused Wade to join the Mormon church, because he got to school. And he came home and he said, Mama, even the Christian kids are going wild at college. And he didn't want that. So he joined the Mormon church because those kids don't do that stuff. You know, it's like I have looked at all, you know, we could learn a few things from the Mormons. Discipling, the family, however, it's an idol. They absolutely worship family. I mean, I believe in family. But not to the point that it supersedes almost even, you know, their faith. No. Now, my son that was in prison turned around. And I told him, you know, while he was in prison, he said, you know what, Mama, don't you find it strange that none of my friends that I did all this stuff with are in here with me, just me? I said, that's because you belong to God, Kyle. He loves you enough to put you in a place to protect you from yourself. He is married now. He learned how to do cabinet work in prison. And here's another thing I want y'all to remember. The confession. Because, you know, Kyle was a real shame to his grandparents. Not my mama, because she had a kid like that. She sort of understood. She had more mercy. Mike's parents, you know, they had not dealt with things like that, and they were very embarrassed. They didn't want their friends to know, even though it was on the front page of the newspaper and on the radio. You know, small town, everything's out there. But his daddy, every time we would talk about Kyle, he would just get this look of disgust on his face. And one day he said, well, you know that record's going to follow him everywhere he goes. He'll not ever be able to get a decent job. And I said, yes, he will too, because he belongs to God. I said, this is not over yet. This is not over yet. I mean, I just got violent because, listen, you're not going to curse his life. I said, he will. He belongs to God. That's what's going to make the difference. I said, God is able to wipe that record clean from him. He will have the job of his choice. He will be successful in his life. And I want you to know, he came out of prison. He went to about four or five places to apply for a job. They all hired him.
Yeah. All right.
They all called him to work.
Amen.
He had the job of his choice, just like Mama said. But we need to learn to prophesy. You see,
yes.
God taught me in the middle of all of this, after to walk by faith, he taught me how to prophesy over my children. You know that in that scripture in Joel where it says he will pour out his spirit on all flesh.
Yes.
And my old men will dream dreams, young men, and all this stuff, and prophesy. That prophesying was in there. Okay. I learned that prophesying, now there's different kinds of prophecy, but the kind of prophesying that I'm talking about and that God is talking about is that we speak the desired end over our situation. And he took me to Ezekiel. I mean, I was reading that one day, and I thought, that's me. I'm not the certain man, but I am this one. He placed me in a valley full of dry bones, and where we live, believe me, it's like, it's there. And he said, can these bones live? Well, Lord, you ought to know. You tell me. He said, speak. Prophesy. Speak to those bones. And then he told him what to say. You tell them to live. Breathe. You know, they'll come together. So that taught me something. And I begin to prophesy over my children. Every day I thank God that for my godly children. And one day I was going on a trip and I knew I was going to see people I hadn't seen in a long time, and they're all going to say, well, how are your children? You know, because that's all people talk about. And I hadn't seen these people in 10 years, and I said, Lord, it hit me on the way down there. I said, Lord, what am I going to say to these people when they say, how are your children? Well, Kyle's in jail, Wade joined the Mormon church, and Katie's, you know, she's out there. You know, God, what happened when y'all left here? Y'all were like the model family, you know? And I didn't expect him to answer me. I was just talking. And he said, if anyone asks, you tell them that all three of your children are in training for the ministry.
That's it right there.
I laughed out loud and said, I like that, Lord. That is so good. And so every day I remind him. Lord, I thank you that all three of my children are in training for the ministry. I thank you that Kyle will be able to minister to men in prison. I thank you that Katie will be able to minister to young girls. And I thank you that Wade will have the truth and bring people out of the Mormon church. Yes. That's what it's all about. Now, that was never God's intended plan for my children. But as Jerry said this morning, all things work together for the good to those who are called according to His purpose. And they are called according to His purpose. They belong to God. Anybody who belongs to God is called according to His purpose. We all are called according to His purpose. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, was He?
Yes.
He was resurrected. He said, I will draw all men unto me. Not all will answer, but He's drawing all. All. He's drawing them. I mean, from the moment conception happens, He's drawing them. And so prophesy over your children. Prophesy over your business. Prophesy over your marriage. Prophesy over your husband. Pray your desired end for your husband. God showed me in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I was reading that one day, and it says, for the wife has not power over her own body but the husband. Likewise, the husband has not power over his own body but the wife. And one day, I wasn't even thinking about that scripture, but I was watching Mike. He's trying to figure something out. He learned how to weld, and he just loves to weld. That bright. And he was trying to figure something out, and I was looking out there, and I said, Lord, show him how to do what he wants to do. Give him an idea. Show him the concept and how to do it. And Lord, while I'm at it, your word says that I have power over his body. And I just speak into him a hunger and a thirst for your word and for your kingdom first. In the name of Jesus. Hunger and thirst after the word of God. That was on Friday evening. Saturday morning I get up. Ladies, I'm telling you, this is not witchcraft. Okay? You pray the desired end that lines up with the word of God. God's with you. And he got up before I did on a Saturday morning, and I walked through there to get my coffee, and his Bible is open on the coffee table. I was like, you know, it's so hard to walk through there, and you see something like that, and it's like, you want to go, you know, and I just have to, you know, because you don't want to give him anything to rebel again.
Yeah.
You know, you show him you're excited, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, I had to, you know, I had to smash a bug with it, you know, or something, you know. They're not going to let you get excited. So you just have to be cool.
Yeah.
And he even wanted to know what time Sunday school started. He would go to church, but he never went to Sunday school. I taught Sunday school. But anyway, he says, what time does Sunday school start? And he came to Sunday school. I just couldn't believe it. It was... But, you know, there is so much here that we've yet to do. Doers of the word. If we would but do, we would be seeing miraculous things. It says that the whole, creation, is it? Groaneth. Waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. And that's what he wants us to do. He came and led, he gave the example, and now he wants us to do it too. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Now it's our turn to destroy the works of the devil. He cast out, now we need to cast out. He laid hands on us, so we need to lay hands. That's the works we need to do. So we need to just be doers of the word. And when you do that, you can live with peace. I mean, in the valley of the shadow of death. A shadow. Not death, but the shadow. You know, the shadow has no power. The shadow of a gun cannot shoot you. You know? It's a shadow. But, you know, sometimes we scare our own selves with our shadow. It's true. So I just encourage you to trust in the Lord where your children are concerned. And I want us to pray. And there's one more thing. What time is it? 2:30. Oh, the granddaughter. Oh, yeah. Well, she had the baby. Now, I'm going to tell some more of that because the teaching I'm going to do at 3 o'clock is going to be major in that respect. But she had her baby. When all of her friends begin to have babies and live at home with their mamas, I said, Katie, I have something I need to tell you. That ain't happening here.
All right, now.
I got to tell you. Now, of course, if she had not believed me and things happened differently, I'm sure she would be in my house with the baby. But she believed me, which, you know, I when I said something, I meant it. And she knew that, and she honored it. But I told her, I said, if you ever get pregnant, you and the baby will become his responsibility, not your daddy's and mine. We've raised our children. And if you bring a child into this world, you'll be responsible for it and you will raise it. We won't. We won't. I'm just telling you. Now, her daddy might have said, baby. But I had already told her. So anyway, she called us at the office. It was in October of last year, September, October, I can't remember, but anyway, and she told him over the telephone, we're at the office, I'm sitting at one end, and he's sitting down there, and he answers, hi, pumpkin, what you doing? And he goes, he has this thing with his mouth, I always know, I can read him like a book. I saw that mouth, and I said, and his countenance just, I said, I was just sick. So I got on the phone and I said, call him. You call Charles. And he was living in Houston with his parents. He didn't even have a job. I said, you call him. Tell him to come get you. She did, and he did. He came and got her. Now, his parents had a house in Andrews out in West Texas that was their grandfather's. It was a house, you know, that had been in the family, and it was empty, and they couldn't live with his parents. His parents had lost their house and were living in a little tiny trailer on the river in Houston, in a vacation park, you know, and so he came and got her, and they went to live in Andrews in the grandparents' house, and he got a job working on oil rigs. He's a hard worker. I never thought he would. I didn't know he had it in him. I didn't think he had it in him. And I told him when she had the baby, I went out there. In fact, the baby was born when our son was graduating from A&M, almost at the same time he walked across to get his diploma. We got home on the phone machine. She had the baby. So I packed up and went the very next morning. And I told him how proud I was of him for taking the responsibility that he should have taken. I'm sorry it happened in the order that it happened. I would have preferred y'all be married and do things the way it's supposed to be done. But this is the package. And so you'll hear more about that in the next one. But she had the baby, which, you know, she prayed and asked me to pray because, you know, she was into drugs, she was doing alcohol, she was doing it all, and she was very fearful, you know, that the baby would be something wrong with it. She got off of everything as soon as she found out, but, you know, sometimes that's too late. The baby is beautiful, she's healthy. I prayed for her, prayed for the baby, and she is. She's healthy and smart and beautiful. Grand baby.
Grand.
It really is, though. I mean, I really do have a heart for all these girls that are, you know, it's just really sad what's happening in our world today. that babies are being born every day. And just like the poker and casinos and the world of darkness that we would never have partaken of years ago, now is, you know, acceptable, and everything, woe to those who call evil good. And that's what we're doing in this world. That's the spirit of perversity. We call, not us as Christians, but the world. And worldly Christians are calling those things which are evil good and acceptable. And so, let's pray. I want us all to pray this prayer. It may not apply to you, but pray it anyway, you know, because we never know. We never know. Father, thank you for your word.
Thank you for your word.
Thank you for the blessing of children.
Thank you for the blessing of children.
Father, we repent.
Of
every area that we failed in raising our children the way you intended us to.
In every area that we failed in raising our children the way you intended us to.
But God, you're a God of resurrection and reconciliation and restoration.
But God, you're a God of resurrection, reconciliation.
And you can make the crooked way straight.
You make the crooked way straight.
I lay my children on your altar today.
I lay my children on your altar today.
And all of our descendants. And there are seed on your altar. We ask you to have your way in their life.
We ask you to have your way.
Lord, I encamp your mighty angels
around my children.
And I ask you to keep them.
Protect them.
Draw them.
Teach them.
Forgive me for idolatry. And help me, Lord, to keep my hands off of your business. And I ask you to take my children up. And be a father to them. We just thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you that you hear our prayer. We thank you that we can have comfort.
We thank you that we can have comfort.
And trust you totally. With every single area of our lives.
With every single area of our lives.
Talk to us, Lord, about the things that we need to do.
Talk to us, Lord, about the things that we need to do.
Let us be sensitive to hear your voice.
Let us be sensitive to hear your voice.
And quick to obey.
And quick to obey.
Help us to be compassionate.
Help us to be compassionate.
Help us to walk in your love.
Help us to walk in your love.
Forgive us in the areas that we have judged others.
Forgive us in the areas where we have judged others.
Because we don't want to have to go through what they did.
Because we don't want to have to go through that.
Guard our mouths, Lord.
Guard our mouths, Lord.
And teach us to speak your word.
And teach us to speak your word.
Knowing that you are watching over your word.
Knowing that you are watching over your word.
To perform it.
To perform it.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.